Hello, this is Katie Steckles of the Aperiodical, and we are at the Maths Jam annual conference. I'm here with Ben Sparks and James Grime, who are both now waving, even though this is an audio recording. And we thought it would be nice to do a little bit of a recording, a little bit of a podcasty type thing, because on Monday coming, it is the 100th birthday of the mathematician Apperi. And in celebration of this, we're going to be doing, a whole day of Apperi-related things. We're going to have a very small number of Apperi-related things, of which this is one. But we're also going to, in honour of him, change our name for the day to the Apperiodical, because that's hilarious. And you may see a few kind of Apperi-related things popping up on the site. We've got a bit of an article by Ben and a couple of other things that we're going to put together. So I thought this would be a nice addition to this. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Apperi and who he was and what he did. So I think before we do that, there are a couple of important bits of maths that we need to kind of understand and pin down. So first of all, I'm going to go to Ben. I'm going to ask you, Ben, what is an irrational number?
So irrationals are one of those weird things in maths that turned up when no one wanted them to. They thought that rationals were really great because they made the world rational, made sense. But then the Greeks eventually had to admit there were things that were not sensible, the ones that were not ratios, numbers you could never write down. And that upset a lot of people, possibly killed some, but let's not go into the urban myths of mathematical history. Poor old Hipparchus. The root 2 was the first one we reckon was proved, and there's a lovely proof by Euclid that you can never write down the square root of 2 as a fraction. In fact, you can never write it down as anything other than root 2, which is kind of, like, strange, because it's the answer to the question is the question. But some numbers are irrational, and we use them all the time, like the ratio of A4 paper is irrational because it's root 2. And the number that you're probably thinking of when I'm mentioning irrationals is pi, but it wasn't the first to be considered irrational. But it is irrational, and we can prove it. So it turns out we can prove some numbers are irrational and some are not. And the irrational ones are weird because we'll never be able to write them down, but they seem to be out there whether we like it or not. Does that answer your question?
I think so, yeah. So an irrational number, it's something that you can't write as a fraction, and they're very interesting. So I'm now going to hand over to James, because I want to know, James, what is the zeta function?
Okay, so the zeta function is a very famous function in mathematics. It's also related to these million-dollar prizes that you have in mathematics. But it goes back to Euler, and the idea is Euler was interested in the sum of the reciprocals of all the natural numbers. So the natural numbers are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, going on forever. So if you reciprocal them, so it's a half and a third and a quarter and a fifth, and you add it all up, and that's going to go off to infinity. So he thought, okay, let's try and extend this problem a bit. Let's take the reciprocals of all the square numbers. So square numbers are 4, 9, 25, 36, so on. We're going to add the reciprocals together, so it's a quarter plus a ninth plus a 16th plus a 25th, and that does have a value. That doesn't go off to infinity, that does have a value. And Euler worked out what that value was, and its value was pi squared over 6. Surprise pi! Who knew that that would add up to pi squared over 6? And it's an irrational number. And it's this name of this problem is the Basel problem, because that's actually Euler's hometown, which is kind of nice. So he worked out that value. And then you can take that further. Okay, what happens if we look at the reciprocals of cube numbers, which is, let's think of the cube numbers, 8, 27, yeah, and the others. And you add up,
all of them.
You add the reciprocals together, and this would be the next step in this problem. And you can work out what the value is. You can see it converges to something, but we don't know much more about it. And this was the Euler zeta function. You can do this generally.
Okay, so the question of what is zeta of 3, I guess, is the question. And it turns out that Apperi, the famous piece of maths that he was responsible for, was that he discovered a thing about zeta of 3, which no one else had known before, which is that it is irrational. And it was kind of a really cool thing that he proved, because there's not many numbers that we actually know what zeta of them are. So we know, I think we know that all even numbers have an irrational zeta, so zeta of 4, zeta of 6, and so on, someone's proved are irrational, but we don't actually know any of the odd numbers, whether they're irrational or not, or very much about them at all. But this was the first time someone had proved that zeta of an odd number was either irrational or rational, and we know that zeta of 3 is irrational. And it's quite a nice little story, kind of this guy proved this thing. It was actually unusual because he was in his 60s actually before he proved it. And if you know anything about the way that mathematicians work, they tend to do most of their good work, this is complete generalisation, but while they're quite young. And there is probably a mistaken conception that by the time you reach 40, if you haven't done anything brilliant by then, you're basically done. I think that's a lie because, you know, there's no reason why you can't do good work when you're older. But I think because of this, there were a few people who, when he did this proof, they were like, oh, really? Let's check that. Like, they were a bit sceptical about it, but it was correct. Fantastic thing. And it's, you know, it's a nice little fact. It's a nice thing to know.
And he did this in 1978. So this is not that long ago. So we didn't know, for hundreds of years, we didn't know whether it was rational or not. Only in 1978.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of the maths that he used for this was quite recent stuff as well, which is lovely. So it was a real kind of maths super triumph story. So I'm now going to pass back over to Ben, because Ben is going to tell us a little bit about one of the things that he used to do this proof.
So Apéry was working on something which he didn't really know what to expect, we're sure, but because we know that Euler had worked out what this number was, at least to a few decimal places, right? 12 decimal places, we think Euler got a long time ago, 19th century, right? But Apéry decided, like, just working out decimal places wasn't enough. Is it ever going to end, is what he was working out. So that's the irrational. If a number ends in its decimal expansion, it actually is rational. If it doesn't, it might be recurring, which would still be rational, but if it never recurs, then it's irrational. So the first thing is, how do you prove anything is irrational? Because it seems like an odd thing to try and prove, and you need to know a bit about proof by contradiction. And actually written on Apéry's tombstone is the statement that 1 over 8 plus 1 over 27 plus 1 over 64 plus 1 over the other ones that James forgot too does not equal P over Q. And actually, the place to start with the proof of many proofs of irrationality is to assume that it does equal P over Q for P and Q whole numbers. And then you have a statement that it is rational, and you proceed from there to say, if that's true, then maybe other problems turn up. But he used something called continued fractions, so I'm not going to go into Apéry's proof because I don't know what it is. Because it's really hard, but it is out there. You can go and find the PDF in French of the original, and actually you can find many variations of reviews of his proof. And I think it's you could grapple with it if you choose to. But you do need to understand what a continued fraction is, which is the idea that you can nest fractions together. So, for example, 1 plus 1 over 2 is 1.5, but 1 plus 1 over 2 plus 1 over 2 plus 1 over 2 plus 1 over 2, if you nest them somehow altogether, actually you would find that continued fraction. You need to see this. Go and look at Wikipedia. If you see that, you'll realize that that is the number, the square root of 2, and you can write irrational numbers as continued fractions, but the continued fractions, in fact, continue in this circumstance. Hence their name. However, so what Apéry did was prove in some senses that something to do with the continued fraction fin zeta of 3 keeps going. And that was enough eventually to claim this is irrational. Details are available on the internet, I hear, about how you might take it further.
Yes, I heard they have got that maths on the internet now. So I guess what probably all of you are currently thinking, like literally screaming down the speaker that we can't hear you, is what is zeta of 3? What is this number? It's 1.2020569... so it's not a nice, well-behaved number because it's irrational, so it's not got a nice sensible decimal. It doesn't repeat, it doesn't end, but it is about 1.2-ish. So that's, you know, that's a thing.
6/5, right?
It's not 6/5. It's nothing like 6/5. It's very irrational. But I wanted to ask James, what else do we know about it?
Well, if you're looking for applications of it, for example, a quick check of Wikipedia, which is what I just did, tells me that it's used in physics, and I'm not, you know, a fan, but apparently it's used in physics, quantum mechanics, electrons, that sort of thing. It is used in graph theory, which I'm more of a fan of. But our favourite fact about this was that this number, if you take the reciprocal of this number, it's actually the probability of taking three random integers and of them being relatively co-prime, which means they share no factors, which is a nice number theory thing, which I am a fan of.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. I should point out there are a lot of things we also still don't know. So the zeta function is mysterious and beautiful. And in fact, as part of our aperiodical celebrations, we've got a couple of other zeta-related things. Also, another thing about zeta of three is that no one knows, as with many numbers, no one knows whether or not it is transcendental, which is a transcendental number is a number which is not the solution to any polynomial. So it's not a number that's algebraic. So these are all types of numbers. So we've got, you know, irrational numbers, transcendental numbers. Feel free to look these up if you don't know what they are already. They're all very lovely and there's lots of nice examples. But I think we've had fun here. I think this has been good. We've all learned a lot.
We've all been looking
at Wikipedia while we've been recording. But that's okay. And I think we should just finish by saying happy 100th birthday to Apari, and we should give him zeta of three cheers. So, ready? Hip hip. Hooray! Hip hip. That's about 1.2. Cheers. And thank you very much for listening.